Praise God. It's an honor and a pleasure, certainly, to be here with you all on this Saturday evening. Every time as ministers that we have the honor to preach, we're always delighted, and we also feel the weight of the responsibility of preaching the Word of God, but we get excited because it's what we're called to do. And we never pass up an opportunity, even if we're out in the cow pasture preaching to the cattle. Amen? We're going to preach to somebody, something, somewhere. But it's certainly an honor and a pleasure to be here with First Assembly. And we want to preach the Word of God. If you're called to preach the Word of God, you want to preach the Word of God. You get excited about the Word of God. You want to not just be able to handle the Word of God, but to take the Word of God and allow others to partake of it in a way that God, only God, only God can make something happen and come alive through the Word of God. So I'm very excited about that. And I know that tonight, as we have been already praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and now we're going to honor the Lord and the Word of God. I've been hearing good things about the revival here at this church. And I've been hearing some history about the revival here at this church that even went many years back, where things were prophesied and you're still believing for God to do what God said that He would do and only He can do. Amen? There are many things that God is the only one that can do it. And our part is to pray, trust, believe, and do everything we can to stay obedient to the will of God in our own personal lives. But it is God that we need to move. Amen? We need for God to move. We need for God to do what only He can do. Amen? And we have so many miracles in the Bible, so many testimonies in the Bible to go by to encourage and strengthen our own faith. But we also have miracles and things that have happened in our own private lives, don't we? Things that we know that it was God Almighty that has accomplished those, and that encourages you and I to do what you have done here this past week and prior to coming. And when the pastor and I were talking, Pastor Cain and I, and he shared with me that you've basically called a 10-day fast and prayer. I thought, Lord, they are hungry. They are hungry for You. They're hungering for what You have for them. Amen? And it is the hunger of God, your hunger and desire for God, that pulls Him out and pulls Him into the place to where He can and will operate. And while I was in prayer myself at the house this morning, I felt the hunger here. I literally experienced the hunger, and I thought, I don't know if I will even get to preach tonight, because there is a hunger here. I thought we might just get started and just have to call for prayer and go right into prayer. Amen? Do y'all believe in prayer? You've been praying for 10 days and fasting, and your prayer is going to produce a fruit. Amen? We weren't calling out to a God who is not alive and well. We're calling out to the living God, the God who desires to hear from you. Amen, church? So we know that our God, who we have called out to, had heard our cry. And I'm expecting to experience great and mighty things in your midst. Will it happen tonight? God knows. God knows. I still say yet today the best answer ever given in the entire Bible was Ezekiel. Ezekiel, can these dry bones come on, somebody? Hey, Zeke, can these dry bones live? Lord, Thou knowest. Oh, what an answer. What an answer. So will the hunger produce a fruit? Thou knowest, O God. I believe the answer is yea and amen. Well, will it be tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow night? We don't know. But I believe we can trust and say assuredly, God has heard your cry, He has seen your hunger, and He Himself will be the one to fulfill that. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel the power of God that you all have called upon. He's here for us. Amen? You know, I've been in revival really for about past couple of weeks. From Wheatfield to Elkhart. Last night we were in Lafayette at a really, really good Good Friday service. Reverend Bobby Board brought forth the word and really stirred up our hearts and give us a good feeding, a word on encouragement. And after that we all went. Now I know y'all probably do the exact same thing as we did last night. Right after you close out your prayer and fasting. But we went to IHOP. Do y'all ever gather to, you know, and I mean, we let the cat out of the bag and somebody, we said where we're going and guess what? There's about, 20 of us? About 20 of us showed up at the IHOP last night after the Good Friday service. And there was a little waitress come in there and she was pretty high strung like we were because we just got out of a pretty good church service. And we got her fired up a little bit, and she said, well, you know, I'm like a cheerleader. I'm just ready. I said, well, let's do a chant for Jesus right there in the IHOP. And she goes, all right. So we did, give me a J. And everybody in that place hollered, J. Amen. I mean, we was having fun in the IHOP, and it wasn't over pancakes. It was over Jesus, praise God. Amen. And that little girl, true story, when I said, now what's that spell? And everybody hollered out Jesus and she ran out of the room, sound me like she's speaking in tongues. I said, I don't know if we're going to get served tonight or not. She might not come back. Hallelujah. But we have a good time in the Lord, don't we, church? We have a good time in the Lord. Bible says there's a time for everything. A time for everything. But I'm going to tell you what I feel here tonight. I feel like God wants us to pray. I really do. I feel it deep in my heart and my spirit tonight. God wants us to pray. And I'm not talking about just coming and praying over one another for an illness. That's not what He's after. Jesus. I really think He wants us to humble ourselves and come and seek Him because He's getting ready to do something in your midst. And I think you're right at the door. I think you're right at the door. You know, analogy here. Just happened last week. My wife and I have grandbaby number... They're coming so fast, y'all, I can't keep track. This is a true story. Number 12? 11? Okay, that's right, because the one that was born week before that was a great-grandchild. Praise God. Well, grandbaby number 11 was coming last week. And you know, when that baby gets ready to come forth, the water breaks. Amen? And then after that, you know it's not long. So they was checking her out, and they said, well, we see some things, and we think the baby's a little more developed, so we want to induce this and go ahead and get the baby now. So they brought her in, and they induced, and everything was looking like something was going to happen. No water broke. And about 24 hours later, everything stopped, and she said, there's not going to be no baby born here now. Amen? But it was a time of birthing that was right at the door. And we were so full of anticipation. Are you with me? We were so full of anticipation, anticipating the birth of this little grandchild. Amen? We already got her named. Hallelujah. I can already see her in my mind's eye. I've already had a little conversation with her. I'm just waiting for her to come and be a reality in my arms. That is what Jesus is wanting from us tonight. I really firmly believe that you're on the verge of being birthed. Whatever this is that God is getting ready to do in your midst, you are at the birthing stage. You're right there. And I believe that God is going to have us praying through tonight. Now, you've been praying, so you're already in that mode. Amen? We're going to pray through. Hallelujah. Why is that, Bishop? Because this is what thus saith the Lord. Amen? Glory to God. So what I want to do tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit. I want to stir something up in you. And what I want to stir up in you tonight is revival. You see, when revival breaks out, we have revival meetings because we are seeking to be revived ourselves. Amen? There's times in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we just take some hits and sometimes we wander off a little bit and we get a little too far away and we need to be revived and get back over here where we should be with Him. But sometimes we need a reviving in our own personal private walk with the Lord. And then sometimes through that, through seeking Him and being revived ourselves, then all of a sudden, revival breaks out in the realm. Revival breaks out in the atmosphere and in the community. A revival that only God can bring and only God will be honored from. Amen? A revival that honors the Lord God Almighty, our Father in heaven, bringing glory to Him. That is what I am experiencing and believing that is happening here in this place. That is what I believe is getting ready to take place. A revival that takes place that will honor God and only God can bring. But you've been seeking for that. You've been praying for that. You've been denying yourself for that. And I believe God has heard your cry. So to stir us up just a little bit more tonight, I want to speak a moment about a revival that took place in 1857. Amen? This revival they called the Layman's Revival. I like that. I'm a layman kind of guy. You see me now in this. You see me 99% of the time, I'm going to have some tennis shoes and some blue jeans on. Come on, somebody. Amen, Pastor. Amen. I might have an old ball cap stuck on my head. Come on. Hallelujah. Might even have a fishing pole tucked in my back pocket if you don't watch out. Amen. I like a layman's revival. I got a layman's heart. I got a heart that gets down there in the moldy grubs where the old boys live. Well, the old enemy tries to beat them up, and they need somebody to come alongside them and stake themselves alongside them and say, "We refuse to allow you to fail." That's the kind of a layman's revival that I'm looking for. Amen? But if it starts right here, praise God, let it start, Lord, and bring it on as your perfect will accomplishes it. And let it spread all across this land, because how many knows we need a revival in the United States of America? We need a revival, hallelujah. All them grandbabies that are being born to us are being born of our children. And honey, not all of our children are where they need to be with the Lord. They need a revival in their heart and a revival in their life that they can put God first. And it will take God to do it. Amen? So this revival came at a very hard time in the United States of America. The stock market had crashed. There was no work. They said that there was an estimated 30,000 people out of work in New York City alone. And you know, when a man cannot work, all of a sudden he doesn't feel much value nor worth. When a man cannot feed his wife and his children, that is a desperate time in a man's life. Amen? That's what's taking place here. And there was no jobs to be found. and could not feed their children nor their families. So times were very difficult. It was reported that there were approximately 3,000 children just wandering the streets of New York City. Darkness, despair. Amen? Does any of this sound familiar today in United States of America? Here we are over 100 years away today, and I'm telling you what you're praying for and what you've been fasting for and what you've been believing God for maybe over 20 years is getting ready to happen, because God knows that that is the only hope we have. It's the only hope we have. Oh, there's many things we can do. But I'm telling you, we've already figured out that the politicians won't get it done. Come on, somebody. We've already figured out that the millions and billions of dollars that we have is not getting it done. We have to have a spiritual revival in order to attack a spiritual warfare. And the God that we serve is more than able to bring a spiritual revival. Glory to God. And also, not is he able, but he is willing. There was a man by the name of Jeremiah Lanfer. Jeremiah Lanfer was a man of God. You know what I like? We serve a God who always has a man. When it looks like there's nobody serving the Lord, he always has a man, or two, or three, or 10 million. Amen? God always has somebody who is diligently looking to him to have the answers of life. And this man, Mr. Jeremiah, got on fire for God. Kind of like you're doing here this week. You've been praying for spiritual revival in your own personal lives. And he got on fire for God, and he went out and he tried everything he knew to do. He was passing out tracts to everybody that would slow down. He would try to teach them about salvation on the streets. The man was doing everything in his power. Sound familiar? Everything in his power. He was doing everything he knew to do to see the lost saved and to see the blind eyes opened. Amen? Nothing seemed to be working. And he got discouraged and he was getting frustrated. You ever get frustrated while you're walking with the Lord? Amen? You know sometimes that's actually in the purpose and the plan of God? Yes, why? Because in our frustration and we realize that we can't do it and we don't have it, we start turning it to the one who does have it. And turn to the one who can do it. Amen? And so he threw his arms up and he said, you know what? He done just like Bishop Helton does sometimes. As a last resort, he went and prayed. He said, I think we need to pray. I don't know what else to do. Nothing is working. All I know to do is pray. You ever been there? Thank you for calling to fast. Thank you for praying. Amen? And so he called a lunch hour prayer. Lunch hour prayer. Not a 10-hour, let's pray for 10 days. He called a lunch hour prayer and he said, let's just gather here at this building during our lunch hour and let's just pray and see if God will help us. Same thing happened to me that happened in some of my prayer meetings. He went to the prayer meeting at the appointed time. He opened the door and walked in and there was not a soul sitting there. That's kind of common for prayer meetings. Amen? If y'all been getting people to come out and pray for your prayer meetings, that's the start of something really special. Amen? And so he goes on in, says, well, I actually told my wife one time, she said, what would we do if we ever went to church and there was nobody there? I said, well, I've never really thought about it. I said, I guess I'm going to go on in there and I'm going to preach like there's 1,000 of them sitting out there. Amen? Amen? And so what did he do? Mr. Jeremiah went right on into that prayer building. He got down on his knees by himself, and he started crying out to God. And when he got up, he looked around, and there was five other gentlemen with him. He started with himself, and he wound up, there was six. Oh, big deal, Bishop. No. That's not the end of the story. When God's people, Pastor, humble themselves and pray and cry out to God, trusting Him for the outcome, I'm telling you, God gets excited when His people come after Him. Amen? He gets excited. Hallelujah. And before you know it, from September to December, they had not six people praying, but they had 10,000. Oh, they did not, Bishop. According to history, the history of the newspapers that you can research, they had 10,000 people coming to prayer meetings, not church, prayer meetings, to pray and ask God for a revival. Well, guess what happened? Revival broke out, and it could not be contained. It went all across the United States of America, church, and it went all across the waters and over into London and England and abroad into Africa, because God did what only God can do. What's our part? Pray. Ask God. Trust God. He wants to do it. Amen. You all know about the Azusa Street revival. Brother William Seymour over there. And he got discouraged because they couldn't keep a unity between the blacks and the whites and the women and the men and this and that. He got discouraged and he said, the only thing I know to do is go pray. He prayed for 10 days. 10 days, Pastor. And he fasted. Does that sound familiar, church? You call the 10-day prayer and fast? Amen? He prayed for 10 days and fasted by himself. And then family started showing up. Maybe because they felt sorry for him. If I'm praying for 10 days and fasting, and my precious belly that I desire so much starts to shrink, and please, at the very least, come and feel sorry for me. Amen? Come and sit beside me, because misery loves company, at the very least, praise God. But guess what happened? As you know and I know, because we're very familiar with the Azusa Street revival, God started moving as he did in 1857. And it is estimated that probably over 600 million people were touched and impacted out of those revivals. Amen? What do we need to do? We need to pray. We need to ask God to do what only God can do. Mr. Lamphere went forth and did everything within his power. Did all he knew to do. And when he said, it's just not working, he went to his knees and he asked God for help. And God showed up in a mighty way. I look throughout the Bible, church, and there's usually a couple of ways that revival started throughout the Bible. They either started by God's people praying and fasting, or they started by the judgment of God coming upon the nation, or they started because the persecution coming against the church. And one of those two or one of those three are generally and usually how revival starts. I know in this nation today we could go on and on and on about how ugly it is, but we don't have to, because you and I live in it every day. We know how ugly it is. Where's my youth pastor? Where's he at? You know how ugly it is, brother. You know how pitiful it is for them children. I praise God that you have it in your heart, you and Ezekiel and anybody that will go forth and seek the heart of a child that they might not be disposed of by the enemy. Oh, he's trying to wipe out a whole generation, isn't he? He's not going to succeed, because God said that the devil, nor hell, nor fury, nor nobody or no other thing shall stop him from building his church. Jesus is building the church. And that's why we pray and ask God to do what only God can do. Hallelujah. God is the hope. His name is Jesus. And I'm telling you tonight that I feel something here that God is wanting to do. You see, we're going to pray tonight. I come here to pray. I'll be 100% honest with you. I come here to pray more than preach. Oh, I have it in my heart to preach. That's what I want to do. But I think God wants us to pray. And I think every one of us, before our faces, before God, is what God wants. Well, Bishop, it's been a while since I've been in that floor. Watch here. Me too. But it's high time that we do what God wants us to do. I can't get in the floor. And honey, you sit right where you're at. And with a heart that is chasing after God, you chase Him from where you're at. But when we get ready to pray, I'm telling you, everyone who can will come forward and we will get on our knees and faces before God. And God is going to honor. Why? Because we are going to cry out with hearts of humility and we're going to confess our weakness to God. We're going to tell God that there's so many things we cannot do. We're going to tell God there's times I get frustrated. Just the other day, hallelujah, I shared with my precious wife. I said, do you ever feel like they're just not making a difference? She said, yes. I said, me too. I get frustrated and discouraged, Pastor. Just told her that 2 days ago, maybe three. Last night after our Good Friday service. Who heard me say, sometimes I just feel like not making much of an impact or much of a difference? Two people heard that. God and Satan. I said it out loud. Hey man, after church last night, there's this precious saint, and she come honing in on me. I mean, we just closed out in prayer, and it's like, whoop, there she was. Oh, one of them things, they just appear there. Suddenly. And I knew, as soon as she started opening her mouth, that she was going to share something that was going to encourage me and strengthen me greatly. Amen? I felt the presence of God with her. And she started sharing of a time that she was in service with us over a year ago. A year ago. And she pulled out a piece of paper, Pastor, and it had notes that she had written down that day a year ago. And she started reading it to me. She said, I started into a very difficult court case right after that meeting. And it is still going on. And she said, God is sustaining me. And I read these words almost every day to encourage me and keep me going on for the Lord. She said, thank you for obeying God. Amen. We do make a difference. We see the big picture. We see the big picture and we see all the bad and all the wrong, don't we? But I'm telling you, church, one person at a time, one child at a time, one saint at a time, one drug addict at a time, one of them at a time, we're pulling them out of the pits of hell and turning them loose in the power and the Spirit of the Most High God. Jesus is the one who does that. Amen. Go ahead and give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is with you and I. He's with us right now. I want you to turn with me tonight to John chapter 5, please. John chapter 5, verse 39. Here we go. Verse 39. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. These words are in red. This is Jesus speaking. Amen. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. One of the very successful tactics of the enemy in our time is that he has been very good at getting us busy of a whole lot of things. And so our 24-hour day becomes so fragmented that we don't really have anything in particular that we're focusing on. We're just running and going and doing and trying to keep up. Amen? Jesus is showing us here that the whole purpose of the Scriptures is that we would know Him, but not just have the knowledge of Him, but to bring Him in and give us life. Amen? It's the whole purpose of the Scripture. Now watch. It has been said more than once, the greatest journey, the longest journey for any man, woman, or child, the longest journey is from the head to the heart. You see, I believe that we have had plenty of theology and plenty of doctrine to understand fully who Jesus is. Knowledge. But unless we take that knowledge, and let God come into our lives and give us those regenerated hearts that we need and those refocused and repurposed lives that we so desperately need, then the Word of God, if it in our brain and in our head, is nothing but in vain. But we have to make the journey from our head to our heart, that the Word of God would not only be revealed, but that it will come alive in us as individual children, husbands, wives, pastors, laymen, saints of God. Amen? This is what has to happen. When this has taken place, we still struggle with the relationship. We still have a hard time keeping all these things worked out in our walk with God, in our relationship with Him, because there's so many things pulling for our time. You and I are here tonight to do the most important thing. We're here to make sure Jesus is back first in our lives. We're here tonight to make sure that our first love is the Lord Jesus Christ. No thing else and nobody else. Amen? And I'm telling you, when Jesus put in the Word of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added to. I'm telling you tonight, that is the truth spoken from Jesus, our Lord and Savior Himself. We have ladies here tonight from House of Grace who come from different walks of life and have different needs, just like you and I. But unless they understand what they're being taught and what is being showed to them, unless they make the journey from the head to the heart, Jesus will not do them any good until He comes into their life through the regeneration of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen? Why are you preaching salvation to us? Let me tell you something where we've made a mistake in the church. We've made one mistake for sure. More than one for sure, but let's just talk about one tonight because we don't want to pick on everything. One of the mistakes that we have made is thinking that we get saved and then we move on from the cross and we go on with our life. That cannot be any further from the truth. We cannot ever leave the cross. We cannot ever forget the ugliness of our wicked, vile sin that Jesus went to the cross to pay the penalty for. We cannot forget that. We cannot leave the cross. We must stay at the foot of the cross, hallelujah, and continue to receive the drops of blood that comes from our Savior. Glory to God. Salvation is not something that I need to get a little kickstart like a Harley and then I go putting down the road. Salvation, Pastor, is what I need today and tomorrow and next week. And the same Jesus who saved me is the same one I'm depending upon to keep me. Oh, yes, we cannot get away from Jesus. You know, I'm going to share this with you, and I feel a prompting to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy, dear God. Jesus was tempted in all manner, yet he was without sin. Amen. When Jesus was upon that cross, fulfilling the call of God, and he was looking to his Father to draw strength, because over and over and over, Jesus proclaimed, "I am here to do my Father's will." And over he proclaimed, "I am here to please the Father." Amen. I am here to please the Father. I am here to do my Father's will. And we know that he struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know that he chose to not do his own will, but to go forth and do the will of his Father, because that was his purpose in coming. And he fulfilled it. And so here he is hanging upon the cross. And the passerbys, I want you to catch this. I'm trying to be slow. I'm trying to just take my time, because I really want this to soak in, because I believe this is a major struggle for you and I. It's a reality in our lives. It don't matter who you are, if you're a bishop or a pastor or a deacon, that don't matter. We all struggle, do we not? Amen? We all struggle. We all face the trials of this flesh and the weakness of this flesh. Honey, we've got to have a purpose that is greater. Hallelujah. Jesus, upon the cross, and the passerbys said, "Why don't you come down from that cross and save yourself?" Could you imagine the temptation that would bolt through your body to come off of that cross at that time? Can you imagine the temptation to just say, "Enough! I've suffered enough! I can't go through with it. I'm coming down." And how many knows he had the power to call for help, and help would arrive? Amen? Oh, let me tell you, the greatest temptation for me and Pastor and the layman, it is for this. Why don't you quit being so fanatical for Jesus? Why don't you quit going the extra mile and just calm down and take it easy? Why don't you take that cross that Jesus said you must pick up and carry daily? Why don't you just lay it over there for a while and take a little break? Is that not a voice that we hear? Oh, honey, my pastor got to be 70 years old, and I'd been up under him for 10 years at that time, and all I seen was a man of victory. All I seen was a man of strength. And I said, "Pastor, how do you stay so strong all the time?" You know what he told me? He said, "I'm not strong." He said, come into my office. Let me take you a little peek into my heart. I struggle. I struggle with adultery. Come on, somebody. I struggle that when somebody looks appetizing in front of my eyes, I have to turn my head quickly, son, or I will think thoughts I should not think. There's not a soul that walks the earth that does not have to fight and battle the weakness of this flesh. And that enemy is trying to tell the church, quit being so serious. Quit being so dogmatic about it. Calm down a little bit. Take it easy. You don't have to go to prayer service tonight. Let somebody else pray. Isn't that the voice that we hear? I'm telling you, we have to look to somebody for the strength. Jesus said, I'm here to please my Father. Who are you pleasing? Who are you here to please? I want to please my Savior. I don't all the time. I don't always please Him. Oh, thank God I've learned, like King David, who ran to God and repented and said, please forgive me of my sin and restore unto me the joys of my salvation. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus said we must take up our cross daily and be willing to deny ourselves. Not only the world, catch me here, but our brothers and sisters sometimes try to calm us down too, don't they? Hey, Bishop Helton, why don't you chill out a little bit? I can't. There's one chasing me. And he is Lucifer. Slewfoot is on my heels. I know I have the power of God protecting me. I know we have the keeping power of God. But I'm telling you what I also know. That I can go back to that old ugly place in one decision. And next week you would not even recognize me. You see, this bishop here wasn't anointed in the womb. I'm not John the Baptist. I'm Rick Helton, a son of a farmer and a construction worker and honey for 37 years. I lived in the world and I got my belly just as full as I could get of it. Are you hearing me? I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to lighten up. I've got my hands wrapped around Jesus, and I'm holding on tight, honey, because this has been the best ride of my life. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Jesus is the reason that I go on. You don't go on for your children? Yeah, after I get things worked out with Jesus, I do. But honey, I've got to go to Jesus and get the strength and the determination and the power and the wherewithal to overcome the enemy and the world first and the weakness of my own flesh. And then I go and give my children something. Because then we have something to offer. We're going to pray tonight. And I'm telling you, when we leave this room tonight, I believe y'all been having powerful meetings. I believe that. When I was in prayer this morning, I felt your hunger drawing me. And I said, Lord, I might not even get to preach, eh? Might not even get to preach because I feel their hunger. And I feel what you are wanting and getting ready to do. So when we leave here tonight, like all the rest of this week's revival services, we're not going to be the same. We didn't come here so we can be the same. We came here to surrender our will and our lives to Jesus. And He came here to take our lives and do something with them. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Give Him praise. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Lord. I'm Holy Ghost filled. Amen. I see unity in this church. God demands equality to move. God God demands unity to move. Equality and unity. Amen? Are you with me? You have unity and you have equality. Equality. There's something else we need to be a powerful move of God. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Peter! Hey, I'm not going to deny you, Lord! He was the first one turned tail and took off running. Amen? But that happened to be before the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen? After the baptism, he comes out and preaches to the 3,000 plus with the boldness of a lion. Amen? We have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, do we not? Raise your baptized hands. Amen? One more element. One more element. That's it. Humble yourselves. Humble ourselves and pray. When I was praying this morning in my own prayer closet, I heard moaning and wailing, hearts broken, crying out to God. Are you hearing me? God wants us to come and pray.